Since you were so patient, I'm going to preach fast. Someone told me recently that I talk so fast that they can't even hear me half the time because I'm on to the next sentence. So I'm going to try and finish the sentences. And if not, I can always finish yours. I seem to be able to do that okay, too. So turn with me, if you would, to I do believe, though, that there is a word in season here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to speak under the topic of the spirit of the gospel. Last Sunday, I spoke about the great invitation. It's linked, quite closely linked. But I'll tell you why in just a moment here. So here is chapter 15, verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance, as I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. And he was buried, and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, and most of whom are still alive, although some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. That is the gospel. That's the words of the gospel. If you'll turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you get something, a little peek, a little look into this, that there's more than just the words of the gospel. There is the spirit of the gospel that must be present. Chapter 9 and verse 16 says, For I preach the gospel. Oh, by the way, the word means good news. I preach the gospel. If I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. Here it is. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Let me try to explain what I mean by that. We're called not only to preach the truth, the words, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but everlasting life. That's the words. You say, what did he say? Is he speaking in tongues? What's he doing? But also, we are called to propagate the spirit of the gospel. The spirit of the gospel must accompany the truth. It must accompany the words. The words are not enough. They don't have impact until there is the spirit of the gospel upon them, that spirit of evangelism. There's a fire in our Lord's heart. There's a fire. It's always been there. A love for us. That's burning fire of care and concern that he has, that he came, across the cosmos. He came across the universe to be here for us, to rescue us. So there's a fire in his heart, a love for us burning in God's heart. It burns in his heart and burns in the heart of the Lord Jesus. So it starts in God the Father's heart, and then it burns in the heart of the Lord Jesus, and then it burns continuously in the Holy Spirit, and it is intended to burn in the church. The spirit of the gospel burns in the church. That was God's plan. With the burden pressed upon God's heart, God begins a plan, and that plan is to deliver men and women out of sin and out of hell. That was the plan. That's why he came with this burning heart. What else would bring him? What else would there be? This is no place to live. Who would want to come here? Sinful, violent, sensual, Christ-rejecting world. Why would he come except for the gospel's sake? For that burning in his own heart. See, because of this love, this spirit of the gospel, God sacrifices his only begotten Son. This fire of love that was in Christ, it compelled him. It compelled him to travel across the cosmos to this earth in order to save sinners like us. Such love, the fire of love burning in him, driving him to the cross, taking our place, being tortured, bleeding drops of blood, beaten to death. What would do that? The love that burns in his heart for us. Such love shakes heaven and earth, and all who are consumed by this love cannot but cry out. See, there's something more than just words. We cannot help but cry out, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I'm compelled to. Why? By the fiery love that's in God the Father's heart, that is put on to Jesus Christ's heart, that is put upon the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit and the tongues of fire, and that's now put upon the church. The fire is to be in the church. That's where Christ had it come to. This was the plan, that it would come to the church, that there would not just be presentations, but there would be fire in the presentation that burns and brings people to the Lord. So it's powerful in every way. The ministry, I think, of the gospel must be reclaimed. You see, the words are fine. And we can say, well, you understand, God made people and he loves them and he had a son. And we can explain it. And people kind of look at us and they blink at us and but they don't respond. Why? Because something's missing from it. And that is the spirit of evangelism, the spirit of the gospel. It's missing in 99% probably of every church, including our own. You see, the fire of the gospel must be burning in the church, and the gospel must be proclaimed to the ends of the earth before our Lord will return. So there's an urgency here. Paul wept for the sake of the gospel, and so did the psalmist of an earlier day, Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. Just listen to this. Such a good verse. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. So as I pray for my neighbor, as you pray for your neighbors, as we pray for the community, as we gather for prayer meetings, our hearts, there needs to be something happening within our hearts. We cannot have dry eyes and just, kind of a routine thing. Well, we remembered to pray. We went through the list, the grocery list. Oh, deliver us from the grocery list. I get it. There's things that must be prayed about. But I know that a church that does not have the spirit of the gospel operating in it, in other words, it has to be revived because every few years it does die. I get that. I know there's a lot of research on this kind of stuff. But a church grows for 15 years. That's pretty well what it works out to. And then it plateaus and goes for probably just about forever. There's some churches that are quite resilient and they survived all the wars and the fights and all the doctrinal problems and they still are around. We see them. They've been here 50 or 60 years, maybe more, continuously running. But they can't remember when anybody got saved. And they don't know when. They just don't have any idea about that. I was telling that, and this is a true story, but I'm going to tell you. This church wanted to know if they could borrow our baptism tank. And I said, well, you can come down. When do you want to use it? No, could we take it? I said, oh, you have a portable tank. Yeah, we have a portable baptism tank. Oh, I said, no, we don't have one, and you're not taking this out here. So not very easy anyway. So I said, well, so-and-so might have one. And so they went over. I'll leave the names out of there, out of the church, protect the innocent. And they went over to the church and they said, we'd like to borrow your baptism tank. Yeah. I don't even know if we know where it is. He said, well, would it be that hard to get to lose it? They couldn't find it. They couldn't find the baptism tank. The reason for they couldn't find it is because they hadn't used it in 15 years. Now, that's enough in itself. The bigger question is, didn't somebody miss it? Didn't somebody say, listen, what's happening here? How could people getting saved here? Is the fire of the gospel here? Because that's what it takes. It takes that continuously reviving of the spirit of the gospel so that our hearts are always burdened for the lost. It's not something we're doing to ourselves. It just is. It's just because that's the nature of the spirit of the gospel or the spirit of evangelism, if you care to call it that. It's that they imagine they lost the baptism. Oh, that could be a skit. We could have so much fun with that. But it's sad beyond belief. You see, it's because there was not only there was no tank, but there were no tears. There was no crying of the heart and of the eyes. So Paul wept for the sake of the gospel, and as we must. And so in other words, we can do these things, and I'm in favor of every single thing we're doing here in the church. Absolutely, 100% I'm in favor of it. So I'm not making fun of that. I am drawing attention to the fact that we'll have something on finance, something on this, something on that, which is good, because I hope people bring a friend and say, why don't we go to this? That was good. Let's go to another one. And then finally they come to Alpha that has to do with the spiritual needs. And I thought, wouldn't that be something? That would be great if people got saved. But they won't simply from the words. There's an atmosphere that has to be prevalent in the church. It just has to be there. Otherwise, we'll go through it and we'll say, well, it didn't go that well for us, and I guess we may try another time. But I think that's because that we may be lacking that spirit of evangelism that touches our hearts so deeply. See, there's a need to be gentle, and there's a need to be zealous, and the fire must not be suppressed. Oh, you can suppress it. It must not be suppressed. It'll die out if it's suppressed. The fire needs to be cast forth from us, and I know that it has to come, that my inner man must come forth in any presentation, and including Alpha that we're going to do. It must come forth, and sometimes it's smothered for whatever reason. You know, church life, religious spirit, lots of things that can smother that. But as a result of that, we can't cast forth the fire. It's just not there. We don't feel anything because we haven't experienced anything. So the fire needs to be cast forth from it, and we must not think of ourselves. This is the whole thing. We are famous. All Christian people are famous for this. We start liking each other, and we hang out, which is all good, right? And we play soccer together, and we do this or we do that. It's all good. But after, because of that, we think of ourselves, and you know, there's people who say, well, you know, it was a little warm in there last Sunday, and we can take note of that. Didn't we stand a long time, 2 weeks ago? We stood a long time. And when are we going to have something like that? How come we don't have one? Over at the Alliance Church, they have this. And you say, do you hear yourself? Can you hear yourself? We will never win this city thinking about ourselves. It must be. How will it affect the people outside of here? We must weep and we must cry for those who need a Savior. And so the outer man must be broken. The outer man must be broken so that there's a brokenness. Then God can move by His Spirit into that individual because there's a brokenness there. But I know this, and I probably told this 10 times, but I know that if a proud male comes in this door and he's not saved, and he, in about 10 seconds, will be drawn to another male who is equally, only he's a Christian, but he's full of pride. And so the person, the one full of pride, the Christian, but who has not been broken, he approaches the other male, and they don't last 10 seconds, like two stallions in a corral. Why? Because they can't stand the pride that they see in each other. And thus, their spirit is not usable for the gospel. You see, it's that brokenness that the Spirit of God can work through, so that as that my outer man is broken, my inner man can come forth, so that when I'm talking, I might even have a tear in my eye towards him, and he notices I'm not trying to cry, and I say, because I'm so concerned about you, and I really appreciate you, and you're wiping your eyes, and that person says, there's something here. They see, they experience the spirit of the gospel. Broken people filled with the Spirit who are reaching out because God tells us to reach out. We must not think of ourselves. We must weep and cry for those that need a Savior. Now, I was telling years ago, there was an usher we had, and he saw somebody sitting in his seat. How do I know it was his seat? Because he said it was his seat. To the visitor, I was here, I was present. And he said, you have to move. And the visitor sitting there says, excuse me? Says, you have to move. Why was this? What is this? I can't sit here? No, it's my seat. He said, it's my seat. You know, what are the odds of seeing revival fire when the saints say, that's my seat you're sitting on. Could you mind moving? I've been here a long time in this church. That's my seat. This is what you cry over. If you don't laugh, you cry. It's terrible. It's awful. But that's just typical. I'm suggesting the churches, that's the majority of them like that, is that we're caught up in ourselves and not consumed, because in order to win them, we'll have to be consumed by it. That lost people matter to God, and therefore they matter to us. That's where this is at. Our Lord wept over Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? Don't you love that about our Savior? He wept over Jerusalem. He knew what was going to happen. Something terrible was about to happen, and it did. And Jerusalem was destroyed. And he wept. He wept. See, such is the spirit of the gospel. And we say, but God set a fire in us. Our souls, that they would be on fire for the salvation of people. That's what we want. We beseech people to come to the Savior. We don't coerce them. We don't twist them. We don't manipulate them. We just beseech them to come. And how we often lack the passion of Christ on the cross. So we say, Lord, use me as a soul winner. Now, I don't have the gift of evangelism. I don't think I do. But I do have the heart of evangelism. And so, because oftentimes we say, well, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not an evangelist. Pretty soon, I agree. There's probably only 5% of the body are evangelists. I mean, by gifting. God made you an evangelist. That's just how it works for you. And that's when we applaud it and we say, that's right. That's what it is. 95%, though, the rest of us, that doesn't get us off. They say, oh, good. That was close. I thought I had to be out there. Evangelists always like to talk to people. They can't stop talking to them, right? But the rest of us can be greatly used of God in prayer, in building relationships, in friendliness. There's so many things that we can do. And so we beseech people, Lord, use my life. Let it be a loving, faithful message coming forth out of a burdened heart. That's what touches a life. With our hearts full of love and our eyes full of tears. See, that's the spirit of the gospel. There's two things that include in this spirit of the gospel I'm talking about, the spirit of evangelism. There's two things. Number one is this love of God that has got a hold of us. It's divine love. And it's what came down from the Heavenly Father to the Lord Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, and to the church. That's where it ought to be. And this is the in our hearts, so love, this divine love, that we are so blown away by how much he loves us and how much we love him, that we say, Jesus, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Oh, I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for my salvation. So thankful that you're in my heart, in my life, you're so real. I don't know how people do if they didn't have you. How do they make it? Because you are my life. Lord, you are my very life. That's the first half. That has to be present. The second thing is the perishing of people. The perishing of people living without Jesus. It's not just that people will go to hell without Jesus. It's that my point is that they'll live their life without Jesus. What a colossal tragedy. What an overwhelming tragedy that is. Can you imagine if we said, we are going to take away from you the relationship you have with the living God? Say, it doesn't matter. Take whatever you want. It's Jesus, right? But this other one is equally, it's the other half of it. This great sense of lostness of people, that we really feel their lostness and we're bothered by it. And we don't go rushing out just being offensive and turning people off. We have to always guard that a bit. But I'm just talking about that whole thing that people are dying without Jesus. And worse yet, they're living without Jesus. They're living without Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, those who are here today, if you're here and you haven't met the Lord, you're in poverty. Because he's the best of everything. He's the one. He's the pearl of great price. Give it all up. Give the farm away. Give the building away. Find that pearl of great price. And you are wealthy beyond belief because you know of the love of Christ and you know something of the lostness of people. See, he or she who shares the gospel must be filled with the love of Christ. The gospel, though, must live and dwell in the Spirit. In other words, when I'm sitting beside somebody on the bus, I'm not making it up. See if I can squeeze a witness in here. See if I can kind of, you know, offend him enough so he leaves the bus. But sitting beside him and get talking, and he starts telling something about he's gone through. Maybe he's gone through a divorce or he's gone through something, and he's telling you. And you're listening like never before because you know this. Maybe you could, might be something you could share, Lord. Oh, let that fire come through me and let that love come through me. And, you know, and maybe get off the bus, same place. And the guy says, I'm sorry I went on and on like that. I didn't. No, he said, that's fine. Hey, would you mind if I just prayed for you? I just really felt for you in the situation you're in. If it's not offense to you, I could just pray right here. Well, okay. Now, when there's tears in your eyes, because you care what's happened in that person's life, that's the spirit of the gospel. It's so powerful. And that person knows. They don't, the words will still come. You know, the words of the gospel are still important, but it doesn't work without the spirit of the gospel. It just doesn't. It can't. So, as Jesus wept over Jerusalem, so Lord, let that fire be in us. Our souls on fire for the salvation of the people in our community, in Lynn Valley and the North Shore and Vancouver. So we beseech people. It's a powerful, powerful thing. The love of God and the perishing of people. And so we must be filled with the love of Christ. We must be filled with the love of Christ. The gospel lives and develops in our spirits, in our inner man. If our spirit is unusable, a right atmosphere, right, must will a right is used, a right atmosphere will be created when the gospel is preached. For the spirit to launch forth, the outward man needs to be broken. It won't work if I'm stubborn, if I'm proud, if I'm lustful, if I'm bossy, it doesn't work. People sense that. It's out of your spirit that the message comes, and people feel it. So we send forth the truth of the gospel, but that's only half the story. The other half is to touch people with the spirit of the gospel, and that's that God's love and the lostness, that people really are lost. Do we believe that? I think it's faded a lot for most of us. We kind of say, are they really lost? There's lots of ways, isn't there? But we come back to it and say, people are lost without the Savior. So we lay aside our glory and we lay aside our pride, and there ought to be tears in our voice as well as in our eyes. We must not block the flow of the gospel. So when people come in here, they say, whew, what a great love in here. What a great relationship here. What's going on? This is a beautiful place. I feel something about it because they're feeling the spirit of the gospel. And that's when they get saved. I close with Matthew 24:14 because I don't mean to get into the prophecy end of it as much as the gospel end of it. But listen to this. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world and a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me after if I'm wrong. That one of these days, the last Gentile is going to get saved. That's what this is talking about. There will be one final Gentile saved, then the program shifts to Israel. At least that's how I see it. But it can't happen and won't happen until all the whole world and all the nations know. See, this is, wow. Wow, what an opportunity. I might be leading someone who God says, that's it. Now my attention goes back to Israel. It left Israel, goes back to Israel. As he works on that nation, and the hour has come when the message has been proclaimed and the door of the ark is shut. But it's still open. somehow, some way, Christ has given us a little pause. A little pause that he says, you have a little more time. And I find myself praying, Lord, give us a little more time. Don't come tonight. Right? Well, I guess in one way we want him to come, but in many ways we don't want him to come just yet. Because we sense that he's got a plan for people. Lord, don't shut the door just yet. Don't shut it just yet. Please, let the people in Lynn Valley, let them hear clearly. Lord, let the people in Vancouver, let the people in Canada, let the people in Syria somehow, Lord, let the message go forth. Let it come forth, Lord. Give us time. Because then we know that when the whole world is heard, when evangelism has been completed, we're going home. But we're not going home yet. And I just feel a gratitude for that. Because of our merciful God says, I am hesitating. I'm hesitating so the church will burn with the fire of the gospel. That we just say, wow, that's what it is. That's what we wait for. And we can't, you know, we're caught in it a bit because we say, we know that unless the Holy Spirit draws them, they cannot come, right? That's a bit frustrating to us. And we start saying, well, Lord, you do know, but we'll tell everybody. We'll somehow begin to let the love of God flow through and the lostness of people in our hearts, a burden in our hearts, we'll just let that guide us and direct us. And watch what will happen. The church will experience new ways of living because this is so close to the heart of God. People will walk in and they sense it. They don't know what it is. We know it's the spirit of the gospel. But that has to be revived. It has to be constantly revived because it will fade down. And pretty soon there's no one getting saved and no one getting touched. And we lost the baptism tank. Luckily we cemented ours. But that's what it'll be. That's what it'll be. You could go, there's lots of churches. No, this is the tragedy. There are lots of churches in the city that no one gets saved in. They can't remember. And they don't even, well, I guess I shouldn't say they don't care. I guess they care, but it just doesn't happen. And I don't want to be part of that. Right? I want to be in the middle of God's will like you do, swept over by this thing, say, whoa, that's what we were praying about. So the words, yes, we need to proclaim them, but not without the spirit of it. That heartfelt love and genuineness, because then they've touched what's burning in God's heart. Right? God's flame and fire in his heart fills it with his Son, fills it with the Holy Spirit, and fills it with the church. This church burning with a desire, care for lost people. Let's stand. What we could do on that Saturday, on this coming Saturday night, Marcel, that would be good. One thing we'll pray about is the spirit of the gospel in this place. So it's, again, not just the proclamation of the words. It's pretty exciting times. One of the things I would say to you, don't focus on too much on what's happening around the world. You'll depress yourself beyond measure. I mean, we're to care, but I felt the Lord say to me the other night, focus on the gospel. Don't focus on how bad it's getting. Don't focus on why little children are killing other little children or why this is happening or why women in India are getting raped. I mean, there's just no end. And pretty soon you're burdened down, right? You're just kind of worried and you're kind of focused on, well, am I going to have enough money? Is the economy failing? Am I going to have enough money for, you know? The next thing, you're a million miles off the gospel worried about your pension, right? Worried about your health or something. Focus on loving people. Focus on reaching out to people. That's what we just spend our time doing. Reach as many people we can. And may somehow, when they touch us, they just touch something of Christ. Some care of Christ. And they said, the fire that burned in our Lord is now burning in their heart. Yeah. So, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I've said it 100 times to you as well as to others, Lord, that you're the best thing that ever happened to us. Thank you that I've experienced Calvary's love I've been burned by the fire of your love. And Lord, it bothers me that it doesn't bother me enough. I pray, God, you'd fill me, my heart, with the Holy Spirit afresh. That the spirit of evangelism would burn in my heart and burn in the hearts of my brothers and sisters here today. We thank you for a good service. Good to be together. Good to sing. Good to have communion. Now, Lord, we pray as we go into our mission field, and somehow you would make us very, very sensitive. But give us a boldness that we don't move away from it. Help us to care. And we just dedicate ourselves to you. We pray your blessing on the prayer meeting Saturday night. We pray, God, you'll shake this place. Let the fire of the Lord be upon us. And we pray, God, that there will be perhaps 10 scores, we don't know, of people that will be brought to Christ, especially through Alpha. So we're just making ourselves available, Lord. Bless our church, we pray. Oh, we don't want the fire to go out. Lord, we don't want people looking for different chairs because some Christian would let them sit there. Oh, God. Oh, God. Have mercy on us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for entrusting us with this glorious message. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, we don't need to end on any more of me preaching. I think we understood what we're saying. And grab a hold of that love. Don't try to work up something that isn't there. Tell God, say, God, I can't seem to squeeze a tear out. I can't seem to squeeze a love out. It's okay. Tell him. Matter of fact, that's why we're praying, isn't it? Really, that's why we're praying. Lord, fill me with your love. I don't feel it. I'm not grabbed by it. I want to be grabbed by it. So that's why we come for prayer. So don't be condemned that you say, I don't feel that fire burning. You don't yet. But our prayer is that you'll all feel it. And together we will win the North Shore for the Lord. So this is one of these great moments. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's like Goldilocks. It's just right. Remember, other weeks it's rainy and cold. This is perfect weather, and it's supposed to stay nice. So come and join us for coffee, and we'll carry the conversation on. By the way, one more thing I just thought of. Announcement I should have made, and I didn't, and that is Elaine Brown. She's not, she probably reached my luck, she'd be. Oh, she is. Sorry, sit down. You're sick. I got to hear you're sick. You have a blood clot? Do you have a blood clot? Okay, we'll dismiss the service. She decided to come for church rather than for prayer. She's been down for the count so many times. Just when I'm worried about you, you rise up again. So why don't we have 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 people just gather around Elaine? She's got a blood clot that she's not sure. She may not survive the surgery, so she needs our prayers. Thank you. The Lord bless you. See you on the patio.